Hello and welcome to the West City Church podcast. If you'd like to get to know us more, find us at westcitychurch.com.au. We really hope that you're encouraged by today's message.
I don't know, Jackson's got a lot of words. Did you want to come up and anything? No? You good? All right, fantastic. So, in another lifetime, I worked in the marketing, printing, I guess Jackson will understand this industry, very fast-paced, big budgets. When something can go wrong, it'll go wrong. So I had a boss in Sydney, and she was a lady by the name of Judy, chain smoker, 10 dogs, she'd bring them all to work, very chaotic, very all over the place. She had this thing she used to always say to clients, the devil's in the detail. If you don't get everything right in your plan, something's going to come out and destroy everything and probably cost you a fortune. So she'd always say, remember the devil's in the detail, get everything lined up to make sure it's correct. So thinking about that saying that she used to have, I flipped it and I used to say, Christ is in the detail. So while I might be going through something that's not quite as fantastic in life, Christ is in the details, so I can just get on with healing or being, or just being in that space for Christ to be in the detail and sort out what's really happening behind the scenes. I look at that in my life. I know I've spoken about my mum before and her cancer journey. She was given a six-month prognosis to live. That was 15 years ago. She always stayed positive and she lived that. Christ is in the detail. I was angry when she got her diagnosis. I said to her, how do you stay so positive? And her response to me was, whether I'm healed here on earth or I go to heaven, I get my healing either way. So that was her positive nature around her cancer prognosis. There's other things that have happened in my life where I can just see that I've just had to allow Christ to be in the detail so that I can just get on with being or healing or being, you know, what needs to happen. This last couple of weeks has been an interesting couple of weeks for my family. My dad has had a bladder cancer diagnosis. They've caught it early, so the prognosis is good. We've spent some time. I spent Monday night, Tuesday morning in emergency with him, some complications from some procedures he had. But through that whole time, his positivity and his trusting in Christ, I mean, that's why who I am today, is because of watching my dad, my mum, and how they conduct themselves. But just to watch that positivity, no matter how ill he was from these complications that he had, to just say, God's in control. I'm there panicking. I'm like, oh, well, 10-hour waits, like, what's happening? Why aren't you saying? He's like, just calm down. And then he'd fall back asleep. Then he'd come lucid again and say, are you still stressing? So that's my dad. So I just want to encourage you today, whatever you're going through, Christ is in the detail. Just let him deal with it. Let God deal with it. And so as you come to the table today, if there's things that are going on that you need to give to Christ and say, you be in the detail and just let me just be, I encourage you to do that today. Thank you.
Come on, put our hands together for these guys. Well, I bet you didn't expect that. Bit of a clap. Well, good morning. Good to hear news of the walk. Got ahead of me. Aaron, you weren't going too great yourself, I must say. I see you threw me under the bus, but I think he was diverting, really. But I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Look, a while back, I mentioned to you my daughter got engaged. Our youngest got engaged. It was a beautiful moment. Is that your mint rolling on the floor there, Kel? Oh, oh yeah. She got engaged, and it's here's a picture from that day. I'll just share it with you again. It's in Bali. It's a beautiful moment. And her fiance, Lockie, proposed to her on the beach, and they did that lovely question in that love heart. And since then, they have been on a journey between, you know, the engagement and the wedding day. They've been in the space between that, planning, making decisions, strategizing, arguing, laughing together, looking at the numbers, all the way towards that day when they'll get married. And the Psalms of Ascent, the Psalms from Psalm 120 to 134, are Psalms that we sing, songs for the road in the space between the people leaving their homes and arriving in Jerusalem. And as Kelly has already said, that it's a kind of an uphill trek, and they'd sing these songs for the road. They're songs to inform what happens in the in-between moments, the in-between time between leaving and arriving. And that first psalm that we looked at, right at the top there, it says, "Those who trust the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever." And Zion is another name for Jerusalem. But Zion is more than a place. When you look at it in the Old Testament, it represents a whole bunch of things. It represents things like the presence of God. God actually would be there with his people. It represents the people of God. God would gather them together, and it represents the kingdom of God, like God's rule, God's reign. So here's this picture of leaving and arriving in this place that represents these things. And if you've become a follower of Jesus, put your trust in Jesus, you know, that's kind of the goal for us. That's kind of the destination, to be the people of God. Everyone said, hip hip? Yeah, we're not going to get religious here today with amen and be blessed. Bless you today, people. I knew you were like, what the heck? What did I just say? Oh, I love it. It was beautiful. I thought it was great. I like the bit after better, though. It's this journey, right, of like not only being the people of God, but like fully experiencing the presence of God one day. We know Jesus is with us, but one day we'll know him even as we're known. That's what the scriptures say. It's this idea of, you know, this kingdom that is now but not yet, that's kind of bubbling away, that we're part of, living as one day we believe the world will fully become. We're on that sort of the space between, aren't we? The space between. And so the songs of ascent, songs for the road, the Psalms, are songs that inform us of how do we get from where we've left to where we're going. And so we come to the psalm today that we want to look at, is Psalm 121. It's a beautiful psalm. And it's a psalm about trusting in God. And if I can, I'd like to share today some of my experiences in trusting God over the last 30 years. Some of the mistakes I've made, some of the things I think I've figured out. And again, these are just my experiences. I know if we were to go around this room, many of us could input into this space, but I've got the mic, so hard luck. So I want to just chat, and as you all know, as you already heard, my nakedness was exposed a couple of weeks ago on that walk. Everyone's already had a chat about it, but I want to show you a video from that walk, if I can, just a little two-minute video. Have a look at this. Yeah, did that make you want to go on it? It was totally false, that video. That video is a load of rubbish. I'm telling you, because that is when I wasn't in so much pain, I could pull out my camera, but that represents 7 hours of relentless slog and pain. And I show that because we all want the Instagram Reel pilgrimage, don't we? We all want that, where it's awesome and easy, and we're all smiling and drinking beers and laughing. I think the only one who laughed all the way through was probably Banjo and Toby. They just skipped the way through. It wasn't even hard for them. They were like, let's go for another walk at the end. I was like, we all want that, but the Psalms of Ascent really help us know that that's not life. And you know, look, there are churches that lean into the Instagram reel pilgrimage Christianity. Come to Jesus, it's all just going to get better and better. And I think that's a really big mistake, because life actually doesn't show us that. And eventually people go, that's not real. I mean, Jesus was so upfront, wasn't he, when he said, hey, here's some news for you. In this world, you will have trouble. And everyone said, I mean, it's real at least. But then he goes on to say, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He's saying you're going to have to navigate the space between starting and finishing. And you're going to, let's be real, it's not going to be the Instagram reel. It's going to be highs and lows. It's going to be joy and sorrow. It's going to be easy at times and wonderful and incredibly tough at times and full of suffering. That's the reality. That was the reality of my trip last week or a couple of weeks ago. Here's what my expectation was going into that walk. I had a picture. You know, we often have pictures because I walk every day. And there's a difference walking bitumen to walking sand, I've realized. But this is my expectation. I wanted to have some great conversations. Caroline and I went, you know, we were there to go. Great conversation with Caroline. I've got plenty of time. Talk about life, the kids, you know, us. And then sometimes they're like, you know, catching up with, you know, crew as we walked. And then sometimes just walking and talking with Jesus. I really wanted to have some time just like, you know, silent, contemplative prayer. You know, the only prayer I did on that walk was like, help me, Jesus. Honestly, I did no prayer. I had some great conversations, but I had no prayer. You know, for some hours, all I could do was like put one front in front of the other. I didn't even know where everyone was. I was just like, oh, Lord. And especially on that beach. You know that beach in the video? I've called that the beach of death. I'm going to write a psalm. Even though I walk through the beach of death, I will fear no evil. Honestly, it was like quicksand. It was horrible. And Aaron, wasn't it? It was horrible. And it went for like 4Ks. And you know, we're in a beautiful, everyone talks about living in Perth so beautiful, right? I didn't notice any of it. I was just like, and that's the truth of it. And that's the kind of my experience. And I was like, I was thinking today, I was like, I need to say this, right? Because some of us are here today. You're literally living on that beach. You're walking on that beach right now. And it's absolutely horrible. And it's tough. And you're wondering, God, are you even there? Do you even care? Are you actually noticing? And you know, you need to hear this psalm today. You needed to be here today to know that not only does God notice you, as Jason said, you can actually let Jesus be in the details and sit back and just work through this stuff. And we'll look at that in a moment. I just have to pause there to tell you this. Some of you aren't on that beach of the valley of death, you know, the beach of death, but some of you are. You need to know that in the space between, he's there. This whole service has been that. It's been God shouting almost, hey, I got you. I see you. We're going to discover the extent of that in a moment. So I had a couple of reflections as I laid on my bed after the walk moaning. The first reflection I had was, I was really grateful for Stu that he led us on this trip, because I was thinking, how much more complex would it have been to go through what I went through and find my own way? Like, honestly, that would have been so, I would have been so much more anxious. And the fact that I knew somewhere several kilometers ahead of me was Stu and Ash just walking along with all the other young 20 to 30 year olds. Ah, it's great, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Caroline on that beach of death, she actually was like, you need to call Rob now. That's what she said, didn't you? She was like, I said, we have to go back 2Ks to the car park if you want to call Rob. She was like, oh. I was feeling the same way, let me tell you. Because I was like, yeah, I'll call Rob for you. But inside, I was like, for me. Yeah, let's get off this beach. But I was glad of Stu because he's leading us. And the other reflection I had was, why did I trust him? I don't know either. Now, that was kind of like, it was in two ways. I thought, why did I trust you? Like, why didn't I even question it? It was kind of like, we'd organized this together, but I'd never been Cape to Cape. I'd never seen where we were going to go. If I had, I'm actually serious thinking about not going on the Camino now. I'm serious. I got on the end of that. I was like, do that 5 days in a row. Stuff that. I think I'll be an atheist by the end of it. Like, anyway. I actually came up with these reasons. I know he's a person of relative character. My experience so far, no, I mean, I don't know, you know, fully, but my experience so far as Stu is he's pretty trustworthy. Like, if he says something, he'll do it. If he's going to be there, he'll be there. You know, if he's pretty, that's my experience. And I thought, yeah, okay. That's why I think I trust him. I also wrote down, I knew he cared for us. Not enough to not sandbag us, as you heard the other day. You know, sandbagging, I didn't even know what it was. It's where you hold a carrot in front of them, or someone, to keep them going. So Stu would say on the beach, for example, oh, yeah, we're almost there. Just got to go over the hill. There's 10 more Ks of, like, climb every mountain, you know, like Sound of Music stuff. But he got us through. So I thought, yeah, he cares for us. And I knew he'd been there before. I think that was another reason. Like, it's always good when someone's done it before. And I knew he wouldn't leave me behind, but he said he'd wait for me at points where I might go wrong, because you do follow a bit of track, but you can go wrong. And I would have, let's face it. I would have walked into the water or been heading down towards Albany somewhere probably before long. And so I know that because he said it. And these are all reasons why kind of I trust Jesus in my pilgrimage walk. They're all reasons. They're things that, you know, in this psalm we're told, hey, if you're gonna navigate space between, you need to learn how to trust in the Lord. And I said I want to share some of my experiences of trusting in God. And I was thinking, what have I learned about trusting God? Because I do trust him. I do trust him. I've learned to trust him. First, I just trusted him for my salvation, I think. You know, I encountered him. But I've learned to trust him as I've gone along. And I haven't been brilliant at it. And I've had some times where I've, like, definitely struggled. But I'm not going to stand up here and say, I don't know anything about it. Because actually, I do. You can't walk with Jesus for 30 years and still be sweet and in love with him and not have trusted him a bit. Amen? Because any of you who look at me knowing that I'm 53 years of age know I've experienced some of life, right? Some of the things Jesus said, the troubles, the stuff gets thrown at you. You know that. So I want to be a bit practical today. And some practical things I've learned here are some of the things, you know, in relation to a bit of what I said about Stu, but for me, trusting God is because I actually genuinely trust his character and his actions. What do I mean by that? I actually do believe that God is faithful. I've experienced that. You know, just reading the Gospels, when you read the Gospels, even if you have never encountered the presence of Jesus, you see a Jesus who is authentic and real, right? I mean, he wasn't after money. He certainly could have milked the powertrain. He was, and what did he say he'd come to do? To serve. Hebrews talks about that Jesus didn't consider equality with God as something to be grasped. In other words, he was God. But he said he took on the form of a servant and died for us. And so when I look at the actions, I look at the character of Jesus, and I understand and read things like the Psalms, and I see the character of God, I can trust him. I've put my trust and found him to be incredibly faithful. This is how I see it. Someone who loves me, who says, I'll die for you. That's what Jesus said. This is love. When you lay down your life for your friends, he said, I'll die for you to break the power of sin, to break death over you. I'll go where you can't go to break the power of it. I'm gonna do it for you. I can trust a person like that. I mean, that's definitely better than Stu. But at one, shut up. At one time, I read it. Now I know it. I've imbibed it. I've seen it. I've seen him be faithful. Even when I wasn't faithful. I don't know if you have got to that point yet. All I can do is stand up here. I think this is what I've done for the last 10 years. Stand up and say, this is my story. I try to be a quiet leader, not a demanding leader, but I've tried to share what I know, not what I think. And I know this thing. He's trustworthy. So on the space between, I'll trust him. This is why Psalm 121 helps me. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. That Psalm 121. One verse is what I do. And then the next five verses is what he does. That to me is a picture of God in my life. I look and it says, you know what? I see God, his fingerprints at work, moving towards me, gazing over me, watching me, helping me. Ah. That's the second thing I think about trusting for me is where I look. You see, when I know that some people are like, Lord, what underpants should I wear this morning? I'm not one of those people. I don't wear them. No. Delete that from the podcast. No. Sometimes my brain just goes off on it. I'm sorry. Lord, come back, Holy Spirit. All right. Where was I? I don't know. I actually do check in with God. Here's the thing. I love this song because it's like, hey, where do you look? And it says, I look to the hills, and it's like, you know where your help comes from? The one who made the hills, the world, heaven and earth. He's the one I look to. And in the moments where I've got decisions, not some of the small ones, but in the decisions, I check in with him. I look to him. I say, God, what do you think about this? And now here's how it works for me in practical ways. I don't abdicate my decision-making progress. I don't abdicate making decisions. But what I do is I invite God into those decisions. That's how I kind of see it. I'm like, hey, lead me. And some of my things is like, you know, I'm going to do this, God. I don't know if that's great theologically. But anyway, I'm going to do this. Shut the door if it's, you know, give me, you know, just sort of stop me if you can, like, you know, I don't know. Or I don't want to do this. You really need to open up the door on this. Or, Lord, I'm not sure. Can you just, like, help me somewhere? Now, I'm a person who gets dreams, like, and I know you may not. So if you think I'm weird, that's cool. Just don't, like, call Greylands or anything. But sometimes I'll pray and I'll get a dream, like, and a bit of an answer for something. You know, other times I actually do read the scriptures and, like, you know, I know it's novel, isn't it? But as I read, I'm like, sometimes a passage will jump out. In fact, some of the key decisions in my life have come from quite obscure scriptures, but actually have really spoken to me. It's almost like God breathes on them and it takes on meaning for me and it's guided my life. Some of the other things as well that I do is I often say, Lord, help me find someone who's further along in the area I need to grow in. That maybe I need to learn on what trust looks like. And I know Kel talked last week about we need to do the hard work of community. And I think for me, that's, I'm like, Lord, show me someone. Show me a Rob Price who I see has trusted in this area. And I'll go and I'll glean. Or God will bring someone to me. Just out of the blue, I'll have a meeting with someone or I'll spot something in someone that I go, oh, I like that. And in fact, I was talking to Josh and also Beck the other day. I was like, how do you trust God? They mentioned this. They were like, when I need to grow in an area, I pray and I ask God to show me someone to learn from. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I do the same thing. So I look. And I love it as I look, I see all this looking back. He watches over you. It's when you slumber. The other thing I've learned in my 30 years is that trusting in God is not an exercise in God giving me what I want, but getting me through where I am. I think when I look at this psalm, I know Peter on week one said the bit about the Lord watch over you, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Some of the rabbis interpreted that as like the shade for your sword hand. Wait, you know, which is my right hand? This one, yeah. The sword hand, so they can't see, you know, stab him. I don't know. That's an, you know, I trust Peter. He's a very knowledgeable man. But he said, you know, who knows? The bit I like the rabbi's interpretation around is the sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. And some of them said this is kind of like a picture of life. That God will look after you maybe in the sunny heyday, youthfulness of life. But also when the moon's out and you're at your twilight years. I felt like I was at my twilight years, let me tell you, at the end of that walk. I felt I was finished. Your twilight years. But the truth is, he's saying, God will be faithful throughout it all. And I've learned that trusting God isn't an exercise of getting what I want. And I used to trust God saying, Lord, will you help me here? Will you help me work this out? And this is how I want you to do it. Do, 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 do. Now, I realize actually that God and Jesus by his Spirit is so much more brilliant at working through stuff. And a lot of stuff now I just go, like Jason has said, and we don't orchestrate these things on Sunday, but like I'll leave you with the details. That's pretty much what I do. Because I actually have found he works things out better. And I actually have developed a trust that goes, even though I can't see what's going on and I can't see how this is going to work out, I actually know you care about me and you're going to work it out. One of the scriptures that I really like is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. An old guy, when I first got saved at 18, used to say, what does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 at High Park AOG come up to me? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'm like, don't know. He was like, find out next week. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will give you what you want. Some of you are laughing because it doesn't say that, right? He doesn't say he'll give you what you want. It says he'll direct your paths. He'll help you on the pilgrimage. He'll help you walk well in the space between. And for me, that's enough. Because I've found that even though God hasn't done things the way I've wanted it to turn out, that somehow he's magically, it's amazing, somehow he's able to actually heal and develop and grow me while at the same time bring me through it. I don't know how. Eugene Peterson says something like this. No. Trusting in God for the long term. This is in the Devo book that we're looking at, The Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Trusting in God for the long term means surrendering our own plans and agendas. It is relinquishing control and humbly submitting to his will. It is understanding that his ways may not always align with our own, but his plans are always greater and more beautiful than we can imagine. Embracing his sovereignty, we find true peace and security. Some of you don't know that. You look at it and go, that's nice. I know it. Does it mean I don't have question and doubts and troubles and weaknesses? No, I do have all those things. But I've committed to trust. And I thought a beautiful thing we could do at the end today is read Psalm 121 together again. And I want to invite you to the table after we've read it. So could we stand? And maybe this could be a song for the road this week. Something that we look at and something we say, Lord, I'm gonna start to look at how it is that I trust you in the space between now and where I'm going. You ready? Thank you, Michaela. Are you ready? Good. Let's start. Psalm, no. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.
How good was that message? Thank you so much for joining us. Each week at West City, we say a benediction together. We do this because we believe that the purpose of the church is to be a caring community for the world, and that as we go and serve others, we enter into Christ's work of welcome, restoration, and healing, both for us and others. We believe that in doing so, we get to see and encounter Christ. So let's say the benediction together. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So we will go out and feed the hungry, go out and clothe the naked, go out and fight for justice, go out and end oppression, go out and proclaim anew the old, old story, go out and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, and don't even like us. And we'll do it all in the name of the one who sent us.